in Parashas Mishpatim, we get the laws of avdus, of slavery. And you are hopefully familiar with the fact that the Torah's institution of slavery does not look like North American slavery of the, you know, call it 15th to or 16th to 19th centuries. Among the laws that protect a non-Jewish slave, there is Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani. There are Jewish slaves and there are non-Jewish slaves. But the non-Jewish slave is protected by various halachos, one of which, for example, is that he cannot be forced to become an Eved. The way you acquire an Eved is either war, or on the market, but in either case, as the Gemara in Yevamos Menches Amud Beis says, it's brought in the Rambam and Hilchos Avadim Perek Ches, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you here on the sheet in source number one. In order for an Eved Kanani to remain in a Jew's home, he has to actually accept Judaism. And accept doesn't mean be coerced into accepting. He has to accept it voluntarily. If you take a look, ha'eved ha'nilkach me'ovid kochavim. If you buy an eved from someone who isn't Jewish, omer mlo. So you have to say to him, b'tzon chashati kanes l'klal avde yisrael v'tia me'aksherim, do you want to become a Jew? Ola or not. Imratza, if he wants, modiyam lo ikare hadas, you tell him the basics of Judaism, miktas mitzvahs kalos, v'chamuros, v'anshadus charan, tell him, just like Ger, right? You tell him some of the easier mitzvahs, some of the harder mitzvahs, what the punishment is, what the reward is. K'moshim medina seir, he says, as you tell a Ger. Matbilu nosuk a Ger, you go to mikvah, modiyam nosuk shuba mayim, you inform him of his obligations while he's in the water, just like in the Ger's process. In Dalit, he tells you, in the event that you acquire an Eved who is an adult, meaning because minors aren't able to give consent, but if you acquire an adult, then and he doesn't want to convert, he doesn't want to undergo bris milah, you can have a conversation with him for 12 months about this to say, well, today, how do you feel about it? Tomorrow, how do you feel about it? Yeser al kain, oser lekaimok shuara. But beyond that, you can't keep him when he's not circumcised. You have to sell him to someone who isn't Jewish. You can't keep him beyond that. There's a Ramah that's very important there, but beyond the scope of our discussion here, related to how Eved Kanani was conducted in the Middle Ages. Don't think that Eved Kanani stops, like with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Eved Kanani was still going on to some extent. How they practiced it was very odd, and there are a lot of tshuvos on the topic. It's beyond the scope of what we'll get to right now. But if you jump to hay, you get a very important halacha. In Malas Avdo hit bilo ba'al karcho l'shem avdus lo asa klum. If you do it against his will, if you coerce him, it is nothing. It's not effective. You can't do that. So what emerges from here is, if he doesn't want to be your Eved, he has a very easy out. He just says no, and you're going to have to get rid of him. Mind you, he's going back to be with the non-Jews. It's not as though you're going to say, okay, then you can go home. That's not the way it works. But fundamentally, he has a protection that he cannot be enslaved against his will. Another of the protections that are given to him, there are others, but the one that's of the main focus for us is source number two from this week's parsha. If someone hits the eye of the Eved, male or female, and destroys it, you have to send him free in place of his eye. You don't pay for damages. You free him. Vim shein avdo shein amaso yapil. If you knock out the tooth, b'chav shi yishalchadu tachas shino. You send him free in exchange for the tooth. So this accomplishes a few things, right? Number one, obviously, it means that he gets freed if you harm him. But what does this do to the general dynamic between master and slave?
Well, limits the power that you can impose, right?
Limits the power. He knows he's physically safe, right? You can't threaten him, and I think it also imposes an element of caution, right? You're going to be careful when you deal with him. You're not going to do anything that might endanger his limbs because you'll lose your Eved. So this is more than just a rule of if he gets hurt, he goes free. It's actually a means of creating a dynamic of safety for this Eved. Seems like a good rule. right? It seems like a rule that is positive, that creates protection, and so on. We like this rule. Now let's jump to Eved Ivri, the Jew who is an Eved. Because the Jew who is an Eved has a whole bunch of other rules, protections, that don't apply in the case of the Eved Kanani. Even though we say that an Eved Kanani has Tzelem Elohim and has laws of Kavod Abrios and dignity and so on, nonetheless, there are certain elements of slavery which automatically diminish a person's dignity. So the very first one is he gets bought and sold on the slave market. That's the way it works. Not so with a Jewish Eved. And we'll come to the Pasuk for it in a moment, but I'll say a few things that come from the Pesukim that you're going to see in number 3. The Torah also says you are not allowed to make him work with Avodas Parech. You're not allowed to give him crushing labor, right? That's the description of the work in Egypt that we did. You're not allowed to give an Eved Ivri crushing work.
Would you give Eved Kanani crushing work?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not allowed to give him demeaning work, work that would take away from his dignity. Take a look at source number 3. This is where you find it in the Psukim, the Din Parshas Bahar. V'chiyamuch achicha imach v'nimkar lach, when your brother, the Eved Ivri, right, is sold to you, lo sa'avod bo'avodas aved, you shall not work him as a slave. That's the source for the halacha that you can't give him demeaning work. It can't be slave type work. You can have him do your accounting. You can have him plant your field. You know, those things you can have him do. You could have him look after your kids. But you can't have him do things that you would identify as work that is beneath the dignity of standard people that you assign to the slave. That you can't give him to do. Kisachir kisachav yeimach, hashnas hayavil yavod imach, he works like anyone else you would hire. V'yatzame imach, and at the end of Yovel, that's assuming he did the extended stay, right, after his initial 6-year run. So he leaves you, and he goes back to his family. Ki avadai heim, Hashem says, they are my avadim, I took them out of Mitzrayim. Lo yimachru mim keres avad, they shall not be sold as avadim. That's the source for not selling him on the open market. And lo sirdevo befarech v'yareisim elokecha, you shall not make him work befarech. That's the avodas perech, the crushing labor. The fact that the Eved Kanani can be put through this goes to the core of what avdus is, right? Meaning slavery is essentially not just cheap labor, but because it's not cheap, you're supporting somebody, but what it really is there's stuff that I need for my business, for my estate, for whatever it is, and I can't do it or I won't do it. I'm going to get somebody else who's going to do it. And it's going to have to be someone who can't walk away. So he is going to sell me his freedom in order to, or someone else who is the owner of his freedom is going to sell it to me, and I'm going to support him, and he's going to do this work for me. But the Eved Ivri model doesn't allow for that. Even more, take a look at source number 4. Playing off of the pasuk which talks about the extended stay for the Eved, where the Eved says, I want to remain as an Eved, right? Ki tov lo imach, the Torah says, because it's good for him with you. What does that mean, it's good for him with you? Brisa, in source number 4, Gemara and Kiddushin, it shows up on Chaf Beis as well as on Chaf. Tana Rabbanan, Ki tov lo imach. Imach b'machol, imach b'mishta. He is with you in terms of his diet, food and drink. Shalote ata ochel pas nekiya v'hu ochel pas kibar. You can't eat good bread and he eats bad bread. Ata shose yayin yashan, hu shose yayin chadash. You're drinking the fine aged wine and he is having the fresh stuff that's still very sharp. That's no good. Ata yashan al gabi muchin v'hu yashan al gabi tevin. You're on a nice mattress, he's sleeping on straw. No. Mikan omru, from this they said, kol akona eved ivri kakona adam atzmo. You acquire an eved ivri, you have acquired a master for yourself. And of course he goes free after 6 years, that we're familiar with as well. And not only that, but he gets what's called ha'anaka. Right? Ha'anaka are the gifts that you give him to set him up economically after he's done being a slave. If you take a look at source number 5, after 6 years, in the 7th year, you send him free. Don't send him empty handed. You give him gifts. From your sheep, from your grain, from your grapes, everything that God has blessed you with. And you should remember, you are avadim in Mitzrayim, Hashem redeemed you. That's why I'm commanding you to take care of the Eved in this way. Clear? What we've established, I think, is that the Eved Kanani, you weren't here for this part, but the Eved Kanani has certain protections in his own right. He cannot be held against his will. He has Kavod Abrios Tzelem Elokim, and if he's wounded by the master, he goes free, which establishes a relationship in which there's no physical threat to the health of the Eved, and you have to be very careful. You can't knock out there's still Tzelem Elokim. You can't just hit people. No, that's a bad thing.
He only goes free if you hit it too hard.
Right, he won't get his freedom for it. No, that just means he doesn't gain his freedom for it. That doesn't mean that you get to do it. The law, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the law of Kavod Habrios applies to Jews and non-Jews alike. He didn't suspend that.
So he's referring to like a workplace injury.
Or a master who was cruel, right? As we know happened, in the North American brand. So he has certain protections, but he doesn't have all of the fine conditions we've just assigned for the Eved Ivri. He's getting, equal or superior, bedding and diet, and he's getting Hanaka gifts when he leaves, and he goes away at the end of 6 years, and the Eved Ivri's condition is clearly a superior, which makes sense in the sense that the Torah is giving you greater protections for your family, as it does in general. You have greater obligations to your family members than you do to others. But here's where I want to get to the question, which is that rule about the protection of Shein V'ayin for the tooth and the eye, that he goes free, that only applies to an Eved Kanani. You do the same thing to an Eved Ivri, he doesn't go free. Take a look, it starts number 6. Gemara in Kiddushin. Tana Rabbanan. In Bigapo Yavo, Bigapo Yetze, the Pasuk says. If he enters with his body, he leaves with his body. Begufo Nichnas, Begufo Yatza. He enters with his body, he leaves with his body. And then another line from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which is a separate point, but the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? He enters with his body, he leaves with his body. What do those words mean? My Begufo Nichnas, Begufo Yatza. Amar Rava. Rava says, Lomar She'eno Yotze, Barashe Evarim Ke'eved. It means he doesn't leave if you wound one of his limbs the way that an Eved does. It's not that rule is not going to pertain. Whatever his body is, that's what he leaves with. So Amale Abaye says, I already knew that. Hahumi lo se teketeso avadim nafka. The pasuk says he doesn't leave as avadim do. That means like an Eved Kanani. To which the Gemara says, no. Ime hasam, had I learned it from there, hava amina nesiv le deme ene venepok. I would have thought that it would be Eved Kanani. You free him, but you don't pay for the limb. His freedom is his payment. I would have thought that the Eved Ivri, free him and pay him. And therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me, actually, no. You pay him for the damages, but you don't free him. So here's my problem. You improve the standing of the Eved Ivri in so many ways over the Eved Kanani. Why do you deprive him of this protection? Tosos asks the question in source number 7. Tosos on that Gemara in Kiddushin, Shnei Yotzei Barshei Avram Ke'eved. He says, "Desal Kedaitach, I would have expected Delo Gara may have a Kanani. He's no lesser than the Eved Kanani, Sheino Yotzei B'sheish, who doesn't leave at the end of 6 years, right? And all the other ways in which they're different. Ravilu Hachi Yotzei Barshei Avram, and yet he goes free if he damaged his limb. So what's the story here? Why does it make any sense? What's the svara? I don't know. So the Or HaChaim has a clever approach in number 8. He says it's about the money. V'atam nira ki zechus yesh le'eved ivri shelo yetze b'shein ba'ayin. He says he wins by not going free. Ki chayev l'shalim lo adono d'mei eno v'shino ush'ar hadavarim v'yala v'yoser, because this way he's going to have to be paid for the nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, right? I'm not sure if boshes applies. But you're going to have to pay him for depreciation. You're going to have to pay him for pain. You have to pay his medical bills. You're going to have to pay him for, lost wages isn't really such an issue. But you are going to have to pay him in all of these different ways. He gets a better deal this way. That's the argument that he gives, and he continues to explain. Look, this could happen after he's been a slave for 5 years, right? He knows next year he's already going free. Give him the choice: be an abbot for another year, right, and get paid for what was done to you, or we can go free a year early, and then you're not going to get paid for what happened to you. He says he's going to choose the money. Right now he's got the food, he's got the mattress, he's got the wine. That's what he's going to choose. Well, we do. Hang in there for one second. And you're right. We don't give him the choice to make that. We don't let him make this decision. He made the decision 5 years ago. But he goes on. I just want to finish what he says and then expand on it. He says, Lezek hava Hashem, sheyitol eved ivri d'mei eino. So God says he gets paid instead. Mashen kein eved knani, shegufo kanoi lo, sh'asa bo ha'adon minagavatronus hayidu'a lebechinas hakdusha. So he says, for the eved knani, he's not going anywhere. So Hashem said, I want him to be protected. I want you, the master, to have to be generous to him, and you have to free him. That's the way to introduce Kedusha. So his argument sounds very crass, right? Like Baruch says, why not let him choose, right? But at the same time, it makes a lot of sense. In the sense that, remember how a Jew ends up being a slave at all. Right, he enters into avdus. He enters into slavery in the first place by choice. Either he stole, got caught, and couldn't pay for what he stole, or I think more commonly, he can't support his family. And so he says, "I'm going to be an employee with somebody else. The difference between me and an employee is that I can't leave." Normally, Torah's employment law says you work at your own desire, and if you want to leave and forfeit your salary, you can do so, you know, unless it's a situation in which you're damaging the enterprise by leaving or whatever. But generally speaking, you're able to walk away when you wish. The Eved forfeits that and says, I'm not leaving until after 6 years. What he's done is he's already made this trade. He sold off his freedom for money. That was the decision he made. So what we're saying here is, okay, that's your deal. You exchanged your freedom for economic security, so you'll get paid for, you know, your eye. You get paid for your tooth. But you already made this decision that money was worth more to you than your freedom. So this is just an extension of that. That's the Or Chaim's argument in a nutshell. I would still argue that you could apply what Tosfos said, which is pay him and free him. Right? In other words, if you want to make sure that you cover for his, for his financial loss, so pay him money and free him. I'm not quite clear on why you don't do that. But that's...
Doesn't it get to a certain point where if you put, like, so many labor protections on the Jewish slave, it's going to create this disincentive where, why would I ever hire a Jew back?
Good.
I only hire every Canadian.
Good.
I have zero labor protections and I can...
So you're going where I went with this. So hang on. Just hang in there because I want to go through the Kli Yakar first. The Kli Yakar has another idea. He says it's not about the money, it's about the freedom. And what he says is fascinating, and I broke it down for you on the sheet. It's a little long, as you can see. But his basic argument is this. He says, teeth and eyes represent appetites. The eye sees and it desires. The tooth, you're hungry and you eat. And he says, in the course of a person's lifespan, they eat and eat and eat, they see things and they want, they see things and they want, they see things and they want, until they age out of it. After however many years it is, their appetites become dimmed. Food doesn't taste the same as it used to, they can't even see the things that they were able to see before, and the desires essentially enslave them until the desires release them. That's the way that life works for standard people. And so he says, you are a slave to your tooth. You are a slave to your eye. But eventually they stop working, and at that point you are free. So he says the slave would have eventually become free, free of his desires, when he lost his tooth, or when he lost his eye. So now he has prematurely lost the tooth or the eye. Therefore, the reason why he sold himself in the first place, which was to be able to feed his tooth and eye, no longer exists. Just like he would have gone free at the end of, you know, whenever his teeth and eye stopped, he would have been freed from these desires. So too now he's freed from it. Whereas the Jewish Eved, he says it's not the same thing. The Jewish Eved, his freedom is freedom to observe Torah. It's not about the appetites of the tooth and eye. He's free always. He's free to observe Torah. And therefore, his freedom is not connected to the tooth. It's not connected to the eye. It's a fascinating idea. It's way drash, obviously.
If I go to someone in the street, I beat them out to death, I take away all their senses, says, now you're free. You
only owe your freedom. Well, it's not saying you owe money for your freedom. It's not saying you owe money for your freedom. He said that's when freedom takes place. You are free when you're no longer...
I bring someone, if I beat them out to death, and I take and I get rid of their eyes and their teeth, and I rip off their limbs. Okay. You're free now.
Like I said, it's drash. But it's fun drash. But I would go with a third idea. And this is what I had thought, and Baruch went in that direction as well. We said that the Eved Kanani is acquired commercially or in battle, right? As a worker who is going to perform the tasks that the master is unwilling to perform or unable to perform, he can't be coerced. But who's the beneficiary of that relationship? The owner, right? The master. I don't like the word owner. Alpha Pichin. Yes, the owner. I just don't like the word. The master is the beneficiary of that relationship. That's not the way that the Torah presents Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is presented as a form of staka. It's a safety net for people who are unable to support themselves. And while the Torah demands... this is fascinating. Take a look at verse number 10. Let me say it in the Pesukim first, and then you'll see what I'm saying. If a stranger, right, if someone who isn't Jewish lives among you, and your brother becomes poor and is sold, and is sold to the non-Jew, you better go redeem him. Okay? If you have some guy in your community who becomes an Eved to non-Jews, buy him out. That's the mitzvah. Ododo, ben dodo yigalenu, his uncle, his cousin, Mishir Besero, some other relative, oisige yadovinigal, or he will find the means. The Chishan Koneyu, do it as a calculation. Figure out how much he was sold for, what the period of time is, and you'll redeem him from being being an Eved. You can see it all there, right? In source number 10. The Torah demands of the slave's relatives that they marshal the funds to redeem him, right? But here's the interesting thing. It doesn't talk about that in terms of a Jewish master. It doesn't talk about that. You'll get him out of being an Eved to a Jewish Adam. It never condemns the Jewish master. It never says, you know, as it does here, Li b'nei Yisrael avadim avadayhem, they're my slaves, how dare you work them. It never condemns the Jewish Adon. It never demands that the relatives do the redeeming. Because this is fundamentally viewed as a kindness from the master. It sounds very odd to people who are conditioned, you know, that slavery is a terrible thing. You took away somebody's freedom and so on. But from their perspective, this is simply a form of employment in which he forfeits his ability to walk away into the middle in exchange for his ability to survive with a level of comfort. That's really what the Eved Ivri institution is, and now we can understand why he doesn't go free. Because what's the idea of sending the Eved free when he's been wounded?
So positive. He presumably wants to go free because he's... Presumably he just wants to be an Eved, right?
Right.
So,
but why are we doing it to the master? Why does the master lose the Eved? Is that the Eved has paid his debt? Either way. Well, Eved Kanani, the Eved Ivri doesn't go free. The Eved Kanani...
He goes free, but for damage, he goes free, right?
No, but the Eved Ivri does not go free.
Yeah.
The Eved Kanani goes free. But why? Is it that he bought himself out of slavery? No. It's a punishment to the master. It's not that he paid, you know, you paid a certain amount, right? And now he has bought it back by giving you his eye. That's not what's happened. We're saying you're a terrible person. Look what you did, either carelessly or violently, however it works. What you did was a bad thing, and therefore as a punishment, as a deterrent, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Not necessarily. They're a liability. I mean, if you damage them, presumably their productivity is going to go down, and you're going to...
Not necessarily. You took out a tooth.
Should they do? Especially back then, there's infection. They're for sure going to get sick.
Besides, then that would be
your liability.
That's terrible. It also doesn't make sense because we're imposing something. It's not a statement of you may free him. It's a statement of you have to. What this is fundamentally is a protection that makes sense for the non-Jewish slave, because the master is the beneficiary, right? He is the one who is receiving. And he has to be held accountable. But when you're dealing with the Jewish slave, the master is viewed as the benefactor. You rescued this guy from starvation when his community and his family failed him. You provide him with food, you provide him with a place to stay and a better bed, you agree not to assign him demeaning or painful work. At the end of his term, you're going to send him off with presents and a fresh economic start. The Torah doesn't want to penalize such a person. It doesn't want to penalize the master. As Baruch said, you would be taking away the incentive for people to engage in this form of tzedakah. If this guy who is doing all these positive things for the Eved, you know, ends up knocking out his tooth, the assumption is this was a mistake. This isn't somebody who is cruel and is looking to harm people. Something terrible must have gone wrong. And so what we'll do is we'll say, you have to pay. Right? You're going to have to pay for his damages, whatever, you know, nezek tzari, pushev esboshes, whichever of those fits, you know, medical bills and pain and whatever. But he's not going free because, again, that's a negative. It will keep him from engaging in this tzedakah of taking the evet. And that's what I think is going on. And of course, the last point here is the hardest question. Like, we don't do this. We don't purchase people's freedom. Right? That's sort of taken as a given in society. But while we've moved past this harsh aspect of slavery, we still have to ask ourselves the question: what have we done to replace the benevolent aspect of slavery? The fact that you're, you know, taking this person on and that you're going to support him and support him in this fine style. Where is our safety net, effectively? Our last-ditch safety net for people who are in need, like this person who ended up selling himself. I think that's the question that Abdus demands we think about. You may not want to carry out Abdus, but what about the positive side? Something to think about. Okay, have a good Shabbos.